Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And yes, we are recording this episode. See, some of the guys on this podcast, not me, not K Scott.
Not pointing fingers,
but there's only one other person likes to give me the business about not recording episodes. Now, I've not failed to record it yet, but luckily they've reminded me every time. So I don't know if I would have remembered to record it or not. But this one is recording. It's official, like a referee whistle. Thank you guys all for joining us here on another episode. And with me, I got K Scott and I got Jason Hewlett. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man? How you doing? How you doing out there?
Doing good. Good to see you too. Good to see you guys too. And if you guys want to be able to see us, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/OG Therapy. And sign up for just $5 a month. You get to see all of our beautiful faces, or at least some of our beautiful faces. You get to choose who's beautiful, who's not. But you can't choose that difficult choice if you don't get to see us. So you'd have to go to patreon.com. That helps us keep the lights on here, pay some of the simple bills, you know, hosting fees, all stuff like that. So it is a great help to us. And there's over 2 years of content on there from episodes that were never, ever posted on any of our podcast platforms, on YouTube or whatever. A lot of questions from our own patrons, our own parents that are on there. So go check that out, www.patreon.com/OG Therapy, formally Light the Fight. So let's go ahead and get into question. Kay, you got a question served up from a high schooler. And this is a simple question. I like these little short, simple questions. So why don't you go give this one to us?
Yeah, I like those too, man. Very nice and easy ones, but it has some substance to it too. So the question that I have is, well, they have, is how do you carry out a conversation with someone you know little about or don't have much in common with?
Great question, because everyone's been in those situations where you're sitting there in a waiting room or in a scenario where it's kind of like you feel obligated to say something and you're like, hey, What's up? And you know, maybe there's like this thing. It's like maybe your parents are like good friends, and I'm speaking to a teenager, and you're sitting there looking at another teenager, and your parents are out front of a Costco just standing there, and you're like, hey, so they're gonna be here for a while. Does your mom talk a lot? Yeah, mine too. Okay, this is not a good combination. And so you're gonna be there for a minute, or dads, because let's not act like us dads, like we don't talk a lot either. So in that situation, or in any situation where you don't have anything in common with someone and you're in that moment with them, sometimes the best thing to do is just to acknowledge the awkwardness, to acknowledge exactly what's going on. In fact, a little light humor really helps out a lot. Luckily for us, we got a very funny guy here, Jason. Sometimes the humor is at my expense. It's okay though. I can take it. I went through lots of therapy to just download that information without being offended by it. Seriously though, it's like, Jason, I know you do this really well. Kay, I know you do this really well. Sometimes the best thing to do is just acknowledge what's going on, like an observation. So for example, let's do that scenario. You're a teenager, there's another teenager. Let's do a different scenario. You're a teenager, there's another teenager. You're both sitting there waiting to talk to a teacher, and someone else is out there, and you're kind of sitting there waiting for your turn in the back classroom. I've had a couple kids become friends because they're in the back of the classroom. They're respectful. So I was talking to another student in the front of the classroom. It was after my hours of teaching, and they both just sat there for a while waiting for me. And then they looked at each other, and then they struck up a conversation. Now, I helped a little bit after that. Both these teenagers both struggled in the social category. So I thought this was perfect that they were, you know, talking to each other. Even though I helped a little after, they did the beginning of it. And one of them said, I go, oh, do you guys know each other? And they said, no, we don't know each other. I said, but you guys are talking pretty well. So have you guys been using some of your social health tools? Because, you know, that's my class. Right. And the one girl, she laughs. She goes, kinda. And I go, what do you mean? She's like, well, I just looked at them and said, wow, your vans are way cooler than mine.
Nice.
And hers were dirty. Well, oddly enough, those were a pair of Vans that she'd earned through my class because she was doing a great job in the class. And, you know, part of the sponsorship of my nonprofit, I give out pairs of Van shoes to teenagers who are being good teenagers to other teenagers, going out of the way to help people, or if they got through something difficult themselves. So she cracked a joke at her own expense. The other kid laughed and said, oh, well, those are really cool. And she's like, yeah, but they're really dirty. But I got them from Mr. Cause. So, oh, you got yours from Mr. Cause too? So I got a pair of Mr. Cause too. I'm not wearing them right now. And they just started talking. But it was something about that acknowledgement and just a little bit of light self-deprecation. So, Jason, what do you think about that? Because this is one that a lot of teenagers, they're stuck in these situations. And because they have more practice looking at their phone than they look have looking at the face of another teenager starting a conversation. What do you think about that observation? Please add some other tricks in there too, Jason.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I would have led with that as well. That's what I've done for years, is just a little self-deprecating humor. I love the idea of the, you know, acknowledgement of the Vans and the difference between them. I know that I would have said something to the effect of like, hey, how do you keep your Vans clean? Because mine are always filthy, you know? And just right. That one little conversation starter really makes somebody go, oh, I got these brand new. And you go, well, but how do you keep them clean? Because I can't ever keep mine clean. They're just filthy all the time. The soles are, do you wash them? What do you do? You know, I mean, it's not like a patronizing question. It's more of like a, I'm actually interested in knowing how you've perfected life in your own way. And so, whether it's the acknowledgement of like, hey, I like how you did that with your hair, or hey, where did you get that cool hat? Or, you know, just when you're a teenager, you're probably living in the same area. So it's not the same as like an adult that's on a, you know, in some conference where they're like, oh, so where do you live? And you're trying to make a connection. But rather it might be like, hey, I see you got your AirPods in, you know, because every kid always has their AirPods in. Be like, hey, what are you listening to? I mean, do you mind sharing with me? I'm just curious what music you like. And I'm also curious, how loud do you keep that? Because I don't know how you're hearing anything else in the world that's going on. And so I've actually struck up conversations just with like the kid as you pass in the, you know, in the hall at school or church or whatever, and just be like, hey, what are you listening to? Here's what I listen to. And then I show them, you know, I'm into Tame Impala. Do you know who that is? And they're like, you like Tame Impala? It's my favorite, you know? And then any point of connection that you can make where it feels like you've triggered something positive. And you can certainly lean into the negative if you want to. You could be like, waiting to go talk to the teacher. Yeah, I hate that guy. Rather, it might be something like, hey, what do you like about this teacher? What do you think's cool about him? And then it's like, oh man, he's the best. I love this about him. He gave me these Vans. And then that becomes a nice conversation piece. But you can start negative or you can start positive. It's up to you where you want the conversation to go.
Well, it sounds like we're saying you gotta break that ice though.
Yeah.
And you gave a lot of good examples of clever icebreakers that teenagers could use. I mean, if it works for adults, it works for teenagers too. And whether it's, and I like how you said too, how even though it's not one that we should technically like condone, but what's that saying? You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right.
I like that.
And I talked about this a long time ago, one of the episodes, and someone took this way out of context where I was talking about how gossiping is a way to connect with other people. Yep. And it always has been. And now there's a line that gets crossed sometimes where it goes from just like light gossip about someone you don't know, just kind of in passing, just to bond with someone, versus being really hateful speech and like getting really mean. That's a totally different type. But you know, and unfortunately this one woman took it a little too literal. She didn't listen the whole episode. But how you said, like, even hating the teacher, having that common, you know, discomfort, or hating the workout if it's an athletic endeavor. It's like, oh, I gotta do 100 more of these. It's like, oh my gosh, you know. Just something that you share in common, but going first, right? Love that, Jason. I'm wondering, KO, because you definitely have the gift of gab. I've seen you in action many, many times. So what are some of your thoughts on being able to break that ice and start some conversations with someone that you don't really know or don't have anything in common with, at least not that you know of?
Yeah, you guys both said some great points about, you know, finding common ground when you don't have nothing in common, right? Humor is one of the biggest things I like to do. Well, that's what I go to. That was like my go-to. But then again, it takes practice too. And so, like you said in the beginning, you know, going around, just whether it's a smile to someone or complimenting, that's one of the biggest things I do, is I compliment people as an icebreaker. You know, hey man, I like your shoes, man. Where'd you get them from? You know, so for me, it's a compliment. For others, it could be humor. For others, it can be negative. But for me, I like complimenting people. So when I go around, I want to have a conversation with someone. Hey, man, I like your hair, man. That's pretty cool. How'd you get, you know, and it makes them feel good. And it kind of invites them in a pleasant way of like, oh, I want to engage in conversation with this dude. This dude seems pretty cool because he complimented me on something. So when it comes to like finding that common ground, my takeaway, my example is often leading with a compliment that can help them be, you know, open up and be approachable for me.
I love it. I mean, who doesn't like compliments, right?
Right. Shoot. Yeah. Hey, I'm rich in compliments, but at the end of the day, I'm broke because I always give them away. That's what I always say. Rich in compliments, but somehow always broke.
Well, they have a short shelf life. If you don't use them, they spoil. You got to tell them, you got to shoot that shot while you got it. And, you know, I was thinking of one.
Good. Hey, my bad. And I'm a bad joke speller too. So I say bad jokes. So I'm on the opposite side of Jason. I'm not a good joke teller. I suck at jokes. And I think that's another way too. So my bad, but that's another thing too.
Well, every kid out there, if you're making a joke at your own expense, or if you're some light humor, right? You're not like really dissing on yourself, but some light humor, those are always great. One kid that I just remember, they're really good at being like, you know, what did he call himself? Like Captain Awkward or whatever. He'd always say, well, this is awkward. He always say, this is awkward. Wow, I don't really know what to say right now in this moment. And he kind of got his own like shtick. Like it was this thing that he always did. He'd walk in like, wow, so everybody's on their cell phones, man. Are we just typical teenagers or what? He would just state it. And then everybody he liked the shock value of it. He liked that shock value, but it worked for him. For that kid, he could walk in any room, look around, it's like, man, everybody's really taking this class serious. Wow, I guess I'm gonna have to study this quarter. He would just like say these things and everybody like kind of look at him. But what it did, and this is something that Jason alluded to and something that you didn't say, Kay, but you obviously mentioned that, it sparks curiosity. Mm-hmm. If you say the typical standard, hey, how you doing? Good, how you doing? You're not gonna be remembered. There's nothing unique about it. Doesn't spark any curiosity in the person that you're trying to engage with. But making fun of yourself, a light joke like you guys said, complimenting someone, now they have to acknowledge that you're there. They have to acknowledge you're in the room. A couple teenagers have told me, when I say a couple, probably like over 100, have said, well, what if I try these things? Because they had, and they came back to me and said, it didn't really work. Well, I said, what do you mean it didn't work? So, well, I said something, and the other teenager was like, yeah, okay, thank you, and got super awkward. I said, okay, well, let me ask you this. Was the person rude? No, they said no. This is every one of these situations, there's a common theme here. Okay, they're not rude. Were they disrespectful? Were they aggressive? Were they intimidating, like wanting to fight you because you gave them the compliment? Like, no. So, okay, so what were they? Every one of these situations, they tried to explain it, but in short, the teenager they were trying to talk to was uncomfortable. They didn't know how to handle that situation. So here's a little trick for all of you teenagers out there that are engaged with a teenager who is awkward or doesn't know how to talk much. Okay, I give you complete power and control to do this, because once you do this 9 times out of 10, I can't say 10 out of 10, but 9 times out of 10, it'll break them down a little bit, at least so that they're less awkward. Because if they're feeling awkward and comfortable, then it makes you feel awkward and comfortable. Even though you're not the one who feels awkward and comfortable, you're just trying to break the ice. So you approach someone, let's say you give them a compliment. Let's say you make a good lighthearted joke. Let's say every time you use that line, everybody laughs, you get a reaction out of everyone. But this one kid just goes, and doesn't say anything. Well, then you just state it and say, well, gosh, that was like my best joke I had. And if that didn't make you laugh, I don't know what I'm gonna do to make you laugh. Right. So like, are you one of those people? Am I gonna have to tell like 30 bad jokes and then you'll have to laugh at me before I get a laugh out of you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
what happens is a lot of these teenagers, they've built such a protective wall around themselves that you're trying to penetrate in to connect them. They built such a big wall that they can't get out of it. So all these teenagers, they are the same ones, even though I don't know every one of the teenagers that I had kids go try this to, but these are the same type of kids that have their guards up. If people try to connect with them, they don't make themselves available, don't make themselves inviting. But those teenagers come to therapists like me and say, I don't have any friends. I don't ever get invited to go anywhere. I don't get asked to do anything. Well, I tell the more assertive teenagers, just keep on pressing. They don't laugh at your joke, say, hey, like, that was like a really good joke. Like, did you not think that joke was funny? Be honest with me. Tell me, I can tell you, was that very honest or was that very funny? No, it really wasn't that funny. Okay, what type of jokes would make you laugh? Because now it's personal. Now I got to make you laugh.
Right.
Double down on it. And for those of you who don't know double down, it's a gambling poker. That means go all in. Say, you know what? If this kid has a reaction back to me that is very uncomfortable and it makes me feel uncomfortable, then they won.
Yeah.
When I say they won, their insecurities won the moment. Their insecurities are, I'm going to use a very common terminology today. Their insecurities have now held the space. Okay. It's holding the space. The problem is it's not holding the space for any good purpose, intention, growth, or connection. It's making it so no one else can be there. So just state it. Say, hey, I thought that was a funny joke. Dang it, you didn't laugh at that one. It's like, okay, I've already given you 2 compliments. So I got to give you like 30 more compliments to get you to talk to me. Or are you just one of those people that hates to be bothered and doesn't like anyone to talk to them? Because if that's the case, I can shut up. Those kids and those adults, they realize that when someone puts up a stop sign, they go, nah, never mind. They just move it out of the way. So you don't really want me to stop. You just don't know how to start.
Exactly.
Jason, what are some of your thoughts on that?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm thinking about even just when I'm on stage, you know, I'm in front of an audience of people. Most likely they don't know me and they don't want to be there because it's at a conference their boss told them to be at. And I mean, I'll literally lead with something really funny or a great musical number and they just sit there in silence and I go, oh, come on, that was funny. And then that like gives them permission to respond.
Yeah.
Or I'll say something like, oh, that was my best one. Or, you know, like just like what you have been saying, it gives them permission to realize that you're expecting a response. And so often people don't realize they're either so zoned out because they're used to what I call Netflix face, where they're not used to being in front of other humans and responding to them because you're used to watching a movie without laughing out loud, without clapping for it. So being a live performer and speaker, that's been a very interesting experience the last few years since COVID to say, hey, we need a live response here. Or I'll say, hey, come on, that was worth clapping for, you guys. Come on. And then they'll be like, okay. And it's not like a sympathy clap. It's like he's educating me how he expects me to respond after each of these pieces. And that's important in every single day life. For example, if I'm trying to talk to my teenager's friends, you know, I might be like, hey man, no, look at me while we're talking. I'm seriously interested. How did you figure that out? I saw you do that play in the lacrosse game. How on earth did you figure out you could switch hands like that? And then he's like, oh, I've been practicing. Okay, well, how much are you really practicing? Look at me. I want you to tell me, how did you figure that out? Well, my dad and I, we practice 3 hours a day and I wake up at 5 a.m. And I'm like, dude, you're so committed. That's amazing. Then we get some more out of him. It's a fascinating experience to let somebody know as an audience, as a communication, as a way for us to connect. You have to give me something back so I can then give you more.
But you know, what you're saying is so true to just what we're dealing right now in society in general. Who would ever thought we'd have to tell people like step one, show a facial expression and show some sort of response. Step two, use your mouth to make noises to show people that you felt something. Step three, you're allowed to laugh. You know, give yourself permission. And in today's world, obviously with teenagers, they're getting the really short end of the stick of it. Because there's a lot of teenagers have never been known to be like the brightest, sharpest tools in the shed. I mean, let's be honest, right? They got a lot going on in the body and the brain that's distracting them. Mm-hmm. So just giving them, as another teenager talking to another teacher, giving them like, hey, that was a joke. Hey, that was a compliment. Usually when people give me compliments, I tell them, shut up, I don't like it, or thank you. One of those two, you know, teaching them that there's typical things that is expected in a social exchange, I think is huge.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Ask open-ended questions and you're going to receive space. I love the hold the space piece. I love it. I'm going to take that one. I like that.
Yeah, because what's going to be there? Your assertiveness, your energy, you're trying to connect with someone, or them resisting and pushing away and making it awkward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that case, you're not holding the space. You're choking out the awkwardness and just saying, get out of here, get out of here.
Right, this is all mine.
Yeah, you say, this is all mine. It's like, I'm making this space for chill people who want to relax, pass a couple minutes, you know, have a couple conversations back and forth, a little bit of a connection, ally, potentially even a friend, versus just sitting here, just trying to count down the time before my app can upload, or before my parents done, before I can talk to the teacher, before the coach is ready to talk to me.
Mm. Well said.
Okay. All right, you guys. Kay, why don't you tell them what they can do if they like these episodes?
Well, it's not if they like. They are going to like these episodes. No, I'm just playing. No, if you like the episode, please like, share, comment. If you're on, if that's on Instagram, you can like, share, comment at OG.therapy. And if it's on YouTube where you're watching our shorts, or you're on the podcast app or whatever app you use, I don't know what Android users use, you can obviously like or subscribe to the channel, leave a review. We love reviews. We love seeing those reviews. Please leave a 5-star review at OG Therapy, and always make sure to share with your people, man. If you find something that you like, please share.
Yeah. And if they want to follow you, where they can follow you at?
So if they want to follow me at Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, you can follow me at @KScott_2.
All right. And Jason, how about you? Yours is really hard to find you, huh?
Jason Hewlett, there it is, HEWLETT.
All right, and for me on Instagram, it's the only one I'm semi-active on. It's David_KOZLOWSKI_. When I say semi-active, I mean, I do check it. Just, you know.
There we go.
if you send a message, I'll get to it. Maybe within 7 days, but I'll definitely get to it. So, well, thank you guys. And as always, you guys, when you got struggles in your life, hurt, pain, stress got you down on your knees, no need to stress, because you can just come to your OGs. So until next time, be cool.